present Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized in three parts by Bill Morrison. Starring Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Farewell, My Lovely. Part 2.
Moose Malloy was trying to find his Velma. I was trying to explain to the cops why I woke up with a bump on my head beside a dead man called Marriott, who had hired me to help him pay off a jewel mob. Moose couldn't find his redhead. I had a redhead I couldn't lose.
I thought it was kind of mean for the poor man to be found dead with marijuana cigarettes in his pocket. I shouldn't have done it. I'll see you later, Mr. Marlowe.
I went back to the office and got my penknife out. They were made up like Russian cigarettes with a mouthpiece. The mouthpiece part was pretty hard to slit. Okay, I was a tough guy. I slit it anyway. There was printing on the inside. I worked on another one and got a thin rolled-up card out in one piece. A calling card. Jules Amthor, psychic consultant, Stillwood Heights. Psychic consultant. A fake-a-loo artist, a hoopla spreader, and a lad who had his card rolled up inside sticks of tea found on a dead man. This was going to be good.
Hello?
May I speak to Mr. Amthor?
I know. Arrogant. I am very sorry. Mr. Amthor never speaks upon the telephone. Will I take the message?
I want to see him.
When? He's very busy.
Today?
Oh, that cannot be. The next week, perhaps. I will look at the book.
I want to see him about a man named Marriott. I want to see him fast. F-A-S-T. Sudden, in other words.
You talk very strange.
Mr. Amthor will positively want to see me. I gave her my number, and in 10 minutes she called back. Mr. Amthor would send a car for me at 6 o'clock. I was reaching for my hat when the thought hit me.
But you owe me a favor, Joe.
He could have asked me to tell a blonde for you. Okay. This is the title deed. West 54th Place, owner of record, Jesse Florian, widow. Subject to certain things.
What things?
The first trustee of $2,600.
Yeah? $1,500 would buy the place.
In that neighborhood. The refinancing was done 4 years ago.
Who holds it? An investment company?
Nope. An individual named Lindsay Marriott.
Thanks.
Is there a blonde in the case?
Oh, I'm meeting her this afternoon. They tell me she would make a bishop kick a hole in a stained glass window.
Tell her you have a friend. She won't like your manners.
I went down to see Randall like a good boy should. He confirmed Ann Reardon's story and warned me off the case. Then I drove to Jesse Florian's place. It looked empty. I saw the curtain move next door.
Yes?
Afternoon. Are you the lady who called the police about Mrs. Florian?
I ain't saying I am. I ain't saying I ain't. Who are you?
I'm a detective.
What's she done now?
You saw the big man yesterday?
Sure enough, I did.
That man's a murderer.
Oh, land sakes!
What do you know about Mrs. Florian?
She ain't neighborly. Blaze a radio loud late nights. My opinion is she drinks liquor. You've been drinking liquor.
I just had a tooth out. The dentist gave it to me. She had many visitors?
None at all.
Well, you'd know, Mrs.
Mrs. Morrison. Land sakes, yes. What else I gotta do but look out the windows?
And what does she live on? Relief?
This ain't a relief neighborhood. Gets a registered letter the first of every month. Dresses up in, goes out. Don't come home till all hours.
Mrs. Morrison, you're one in a thousand.
Tomorrow's the first. The first of April. April Fool's Day.
Now I'll ask the ushers to come down the aisles and make sure...
I found Mrs. Florian in bed. All she had for company was the radio. The room had a sickening smell of cheap liquor.
Busting open a special packet of fireworks.
You ought to keep your house locked up.
Did you get him?
Moose? Not yet.
You think I'm scared of Malloy?
You acted like it yesterday.
Got any liquor?
Not today.
Gin's cheap. It hits.
What are you afraid of?
Oh, beat it. You coppers give me an ache in the fanny.
Where would Malloy be? I like the Moose. Wanted his Velma pretty bad. Where did she die?
Dalhart. Texas.
Now, who told you?
Some hoofer. A drink would help. Oh, I feel like Death Valley.
Who's Lindsay Marriott?
And I used to work for him. A servant to his family. He kind of takes care of me a little.
You and I could work together. I don't think you'll get a registered letter tomorrow morning. Think it over, Mrs. Florian.
Beat it. Oh, I'm sick.
The Moose was looking for whoever turned him in 8 years ago. I was looking at $20 million. The houses were great silent estates with 12-foot walls and wrought iron gates. And inside, a special brand of sunshine put up in noise-proof containers just for the upper classes. A man in a dark blue Russian tunic and flaring breeches stood by the gate. I told him Mrs. Lewin Lockridge Grail had invited me to call. He let me in. The house itself was not so much. It was smaller than Buckingham Palace. Three people sat in a sudden silence, watching me cross the floor. One was Ann Reardon. One was a tall, sad-faced man. He was a good 60, or rather a bad 60. The third was the blonde. Whatever you needed, wherever you happened to be, she had it.
So nice of you to come. This is my husband.
Mr. Grail.
Mix Mr. Marlowe a drink, honey.
Of course. Scotch and soda, Mr. Marlowe.
Well, do sit down, Mr. Marlowe.
Thanks.
Do you think you can do anything for us? I hope you can.
I don't know very much about the case.
How far did Lynn Marriott take you into his confidence?
Your drink, Mr. Marlowe.
Oh, thanks.
Do you have to bother with this, honey?
I'm very glad to have met you, Mr. Marlowe. I think I'll go and lie down for a while. I hope you'll excuse me, Miss Reardon.
Mr. Grail?
Miss Reardon is in your confidence, of course, Mr. Marlowe.
She happens to know about it, yes.
Then to hell with this politeness. Push that table over here, will you, honey, so that I can reach the drinks.
My pleasure.
You're a very good-looking man to be in your sort of racket. Is there any money in it?
Not much money. A lot of grief.
Here. Have a real drink.
I think I should go.
Heavens, you're not leaving.
I don't work for Mr. Marlowe, you know. Just a friend. Goodbye, Mrs. Grail.
I hope you'll drop in again soon.
Goodbye, Mr. Marlowe.
It's much better this way, don't you think? Drink up.
This is the kind of liquor you think you can drink forever and all you do is get reckless.
You're not fooling me a damn bit. You better sit over here beside me.
Well, I've been thinking that ever since you crossed your legs.
These damn skirts are always up around your neck. Do you do much of this sort of thing?
I'm a Tibetan monk in my spare time.
Only you don't have any spare time. Pour us another drink. Poor Lynn. He was rather a heel, but to die like that is awful.
He paid me $100 to take care of him. And I didn't. Makes me feel guilty. Makes me want to cry. Shall I cry? Did he ever borrow money from you?
It's obvious, isn't it? He was a high-class blackmailer. He lived on women and liked men.
Oh. You have something on you?
Should I tell you?
It probably wouldn't be wise.
I got a little tight at his house once. Passed out. He took some photos of me with my clothes up to my neck.
The dirty dog. Have you got any of them handy?
Mm-hmm. What's your name?
Phil. What's yours?
Helen. Kiss me.
I beg your pardon, I'm sure.
Who was that?
Mr. Grail.
No, forget him. It's all right. He understands. Oh, what the hell can he expect? All right, make it tonight. At the Belvedere Club, 10 o'clock.
Is that a good place?
Laird Burnett owns it. I know him pretty well. What's the matter, honey?
No, nothing. 10 o'clock. Don't be too magnificent. All I have is a dinner suit. It was 6 o'clock. The Indian stood just inside the door, looking as if he had been cast in bronze. Cleaned up a little and dressed in a white nightie, he would have looked a very wicked Roman senator.
Come, quick. Come now.
Come where?
Me, second planting. Great white father say come quick. He say, me bring you in fiery chariot. He say, you come.
Latin.
Nuts.
Okay, what does he want?
You come quick. Come in fiery chariot.
Nuts. It will cost him $100 as a retainer. Me no money, me no come me.
You open them envelope.
100 fish. Psychic is right. A guy that smart, I'm afraid of.
Not got all day. Got him car.
I got him own car.
You come my car.
I come your car. The house stood like an eagle's nest on the heights. A swell place for a psychic consultant. Nobody would be able to hear any screams. The room was octagonal, draped in black velvet. On an octagonal table sat a milk-white globe on a black stand.
Please be seated. Opposite me. Do not smoke and do not fidget. It breaks the waves, disturbs my concentration.
Then concentrate on some cigarettes.
The answer is simple. There are things I do not know. This is one of them.
They were in the pocket of a man named Lindsay Marriott.
Ever hear of him? I tried at one time to treat him for camera shyness. He was trying to get into pictures. It was a waste of time.
I'll bet. He would photograph like Isadora Duncan. Couldn't you get the chief to go take a bath?
He's a natural medium. They are rare like diamonds, and like diamonds are sometimes found in dirty places.
I bet that makes the dowagers shed their false teeth. What does he do for real money, huh? Sit on your knee and sing French songs?
Get to the point, please.
Last night, Marriott hired me to go on an expedition to pay some money to some crooks. I got knocked on the head. Marriott got murdered. The cigarettes with your calling card were found on him.
But not by the police. I take it the $100 was hardly enough.
That depends on what you expect to buy with it.
Do you have these cigarettes with you?
They don't prove anything. Did you ever meet a Mrs. Grail?
I treated her centers of speech. She had a slight impediment.
Well, you did a sweet job. She talks as good as I do now. What I like about this job, everybody knows everybody.
Blackmail, I do not pay, Mr. Marlowe.
Marriott was the blackmailer. And the finger man for a jewel mob. But who told him what women to cultivate so he could tell the boys where to do the snatch?
Amateur! Dirty little man. Dirty little world. Second planning. Let him breathe a little. Where are the cigarettes?
In my office.
You're probably lying, but I can find out. Choke him a little more.
He's awake.
Say something, Pally. Something that will make us get fond of you.
Give me back my gun.
What would you want your gun for, Pally?
I want to shoot an Indian.
He wants to shoot an Indian. You need a bow and arrow. That's the law.
This guy is very tough.
He wants to shoot an Indian.
Listen, Hemingway, don't repeat everything I say.
I think this guy is nuts. He just called me Hemingway. Do you think he's nuts? What for did you call me Hemingway, Pally?
There are ladies present.
Would you think that would be some kind of dirty crack in his book?
Hurry it up.
You guys are cops.
What do you think, Pally?
I think this is Bay City. I think you are Bay City cops. I'm wondering why you were out of your territory up in Stillwood Heights.
Kind of hard to prove. Turn right at the next.
Who is this Hemingway person at all?
A guy that keeps saying the same thing over and over until you begin to believe it must be good.
That must take a hell of a long time. For a private dick, you certainly have a wandering kind of mind. Are you still wearing your own teeth?
Yeah.
Well, you certainly have been lucky, Pally.
This'll do.
Check.
Was full of smoke. It hung in thin lines straight up and down like a curtain of beads. I reached up to feel my throat. My throat was sore, but the fingers feeling it didn't feel a thing. They might as well have been a bunch of bananas. Mail order fingers. I took hold of the sheet and wiped the sweat off my face with the fingers the correspondence school had sent me. Box 2,468,924, Cedar City, Iowa. Nuts. Completely nuts. In a hospital. The world outside the open windows was a black world. Why did the smoke hang motionless if the window was open behind the bars, huh? I got up and started to walk, wobbling like a drunk. A voice that seemed to come from under the bed said over and over again, "You've got the DTs, you've got the DTs." There was a bottle of whiskey on the table. The guy that left that bottle had a heart as big as one of Mae West's hips. I took a long, untidy drink. It had a funny taste. Time passed. Making animal sounds for help, I lay and watched the smoke. It wasn't there at all. I looked at my arm. It was full of pinpricks. Dope. Shot full of dope. I stood up and almost hit the opposite wall with my stomach. No fun walking. Better lie down and go back to sleep. No, I'm walking. I'm tough. I'm getting out of here. I lay down on the bed. The fourth time was a little better. I drank some water. I kept it down. I walked. I walked. I walked. Then I stopped walking. I was ready to talk to somebody.
Bed spring. Just give me one bed spring. Fire! Hey, there's a fire here! Fire! Hey, is somebody there? There's a fire here! Fire!
He was alone. One of his keys opened the closet. I got my clothes. I moved down the corridor. I had my foot out to go down the stairs. I could see into a room. I had seen him before, over on Central Avenue. Mr. Moose Malloy had a nice room with furniture. He seemed to be in very good hands. I slid past and went down the stairs. This was a time to leave, to go far away. So, I stepped into the office.
Wait!
You wait, brother.
Stay away from the desk. I put your tough boy to sleep.
You have been a very sick man, sir. I can't recommend you being up and about.
I'll keep this gun for you, all right?
Please give me the gun. You've been a very sick man, Mr. Marlowe. I think I shall have to insist that you go back to bed. I am Dr. Sonderborg, and I don't want any nonsense.
What time is it?
It's almost midnight.
What day is it?
Sunday evening.
That's over 48 hours. No wonder I had fits. Who brought me here?
You were suffering from narcotic poisoning. You very nearly died. You had to be restrained.
Skim it. All I want is a cream.
Well, police puts you here.
What? Police?
Well, Bay City police, naturally. This is Bay City.
Did this police have a name?
It's Sergeant Galbraith. Said he found you wandering in a dazed condition. I brought you in because this place was close. I thought you were an addict who had taken an overdose. But perhaps I was wrong.
It's a good story. I couldn't prove it wrong. So long, Doc. I leave you to dirtier hands than mine.
My God, you look like Hamlet's father.
Well said.
I thought you were drunk. I thought you had to be drunk to come and see me. I thought you'd been out with that blonde. Oh, I don't know what I thought. Do you want some coffee?
I'll have the kind with the brandy in it.
At least you had the brains to look into those mouthpieces.
Oh, those calling cards didn't mean anything.
Here.
Thanks.
You sit there and tell me that after the man had you beaten up and thrown into a 2-day liquor cure? Why, the thing stands out so far, you could break off a yard of it and still have enough left for a baseball bat.
What sticks out?
That this elegant psychic is nothing but a high-class mobster. He picks the prospects and then tells the rough boys to go out and get the jewels.
I think it's a little more complicated than that.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I forgot for the moment that you were the detective. It would have to be more complicated, wouldn't it? I suppose there's a sort of indecency about a simple case.
It's more complicated than that. Can I have one more drink?
You know, you'll have to taste water sometime, just for the hell of it.
Well, Amthor's a pretty ruthless sort of a lad, but I don't see him as the brain guy for a jewel mob. If he was, I wouldn't have got out alive.
Oh, I bet you feel awful. Wouldn't you like to go to bed?
Here?
That was the idea.
But
I'm not a child. Who the devil cares what I do, or when, or how?
One of my rare moments of delicacy is coming over me. Will you drive me to a taxi stand?
Oh, you damn sap. You've been beaten and doped, and I suppose all you need is a good night's sleep to start out sleuthing again.
Listen, I don't think I ought to linger. These people might come looking for me, and the law in this town is pretty rotten.
It's a nice town.
So is Chicago. Will you take me to where I can get a taxi? Please? She drove me all the way home. She drove like a fury. When I got out, she said goodbye in a frosty voice and was gone before I could get my keys out. I unlocked the door of my apartment and sniffed the smell of it, just standing there. A homely smell. A smell of dust and tobacco smoke. The smell of a world where men live and keep on living. I had nightmares that night and woke out of them sweating. But in the morning, I was a well man again. Until Detective Lieutenant Randall came to call.
Coffee?
If I drink some, will you talk to me man to man without wisecracking?
I'll try.
Was that a gag about the hospital?
No gag. I ran into a little trouble down in Bay City.
Bay City? You like it the hard way.
Name's like a song. A song in a dirty bathtub. Here's your coffee.
Thanks. What were you doing down there?
These cops took me over the line. I went to see a guy in L.A. in Stillwood Heights.
Jules Amthor. Why did you swipe those cigarettes?
It looked funny, him having reefers.
You didn't swipe them. The girl told me.
Well, a guy never gets to do anything in this country anymore. Always women.
She likes you.
She's a nice girl. Not my type.
You don't like them nice?
I like smooth, shiny girls, hard-boiled and loaded with sin.
They take you to the cleaners.
Where else have I ever been? What do you call this session? Huh?
I'm not getting much out of you either way.
Okay. I'll give you a theory. Marriott was a blackmailer. But he was also the finger man for the jewel mob. Women talk. They talk about anything. It got around that this Marriott was a kind of a tricky guy to go out with. That's why they knocked him off. Marriott was scared. At the last moment, he thought he better not go alone. And if anything did happen to him, he figured a little trick that would point to a man.
The man those cigarettes pointed to is not the type. He has a good record of his own. No, I think you're probably right. Marriott was a blackmailer. He had 23 grand in his safe deposit box. He also had a trust deed to a property in West 54th Place. Owner of record, Jesse Florian. Widow. You make good coffee. Let's you and me take a trip.
Do I have a choice?
What do you think?
That was part two of Farewell, My Lovely by Raymond Chandler. Dramatized for radio by Bill Morrison, with Ed Bishop as Philip Marlowe. Production for the BBC was by John Tiedemann.